In this episode, we explore how healing, self-trust, and bold choices can help you rebuild after divorce and create the life you deserve.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had Kyra Casey on the show, and we had a great conversation about how to heal and reclaim your power after divorce, the Rich Bitch framework for rebuilding your life with confidence and clarity, and the importance of courageous conversation, self-trust, and conscious living. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Hey. Kyra Casey is joining us. Kyra Casey is an international best-selling author, keynote speaker, and CEO and founder of Liberate Her, a global movement giving every woman the opportunity to choose her rich bitch life. Today, Kyra and I will be discussing how to heal and reclaim your power after divorce, the Rich Bitch framework for rebuilding your life with confidence and clarity, and the importance of courageous conversations, self-trust, and conscious living. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I am so excited to speak with you, and I'm glad you're here. This is going to be an exciting conversation that I know our listeners are going to love.
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's do it. Okay, well, first, Kyra, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are and doing what you're doing now.
God, you know, it's such a big question, but I have been in the personal development space since I was 17 years old. So I've actually been doing this for over 20 years. And I opened an office at 24. I started taking on clients. And then I went through a very unexpected divorce in 2016. And my life just pretty much blew up. And I found myself in a position where financially, I couldn't afford my mortgage. I was not set up to provide for myself. I caught my husband having an affair with another woman on top of going through this criminal investigation with his job. So it was just kind of one of those moments where everything that I thought was certain about my path, my life, and my future was just, it just blew up. It blew up overnight. And it was kind of a defining moment for me because I was faced with this reality that I think a lot of women are actually faced with when they're navigating a divorce, especially if it's really unexpected. And that was financially, I was in a really bad spot. And so it's kind of like this wake up call of like, this is a problem for a lot of women. And I'm sure that you have experienced that as well with the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's scary.
Yeah. Like, how like this.
How did we get here? Because a lot of times you're like, you know, even ahead of time, you're like, okay, I can see where that could go wrong, but you just don't. And I think too often women in, you know, marriages, and they may not be the greatest, but they're not thinking divorce. They just can't see that what could happen and how much, you know, could be at risk.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I find that when women are going through that, because, you know, when I moved my business online in 2019, I was actually working with women who were going through divorce and infidelity. And I wanted to speak about money and I really wanted to help women to actually create financial freedom, but I wasn't there yet. So I had to teach like what I knew and what I was able to heal. And that was, you know, when I healed from that experience and that trauma of infidelity and my divorce, I really wanted to empower other women. And what I found was that it's this choice of, do I give up the pain of what I've gone through for something greater? Or do I stay stuck? And I found that there was actually a large majority of women that didn't have an interest in letting go of their anger.
Yes.
But
I think it's that there becomes a comfort in it. And it is something like a security blanket. It may not be great for me, but I kind of want to hold on to it because if you let it go, now it's up to you, right?
Exactly.
And yeah. And that requires a lot of accountability, personal responsibility, that can be amazing. And even more so, I think just the letting that go, whether it's forgiveness or not, you're just not holding on to such negative emotions, which are not going to be good for you over time.
No, and that was really the defining thing for me. Like, I knew I wanted to create financial freedom. I basically, in that moment, you know, don't get me wrong, I felt sorry for myself for several months. I was like, yeah. I was in it. I was depressed. I was angry, all of that. I went through some really challenging times, but then I had this moment of like, I want to change my life and I can't do that if I stay stuck in this anger, in this upset. And so I made this promise that I would never find myself in that kind of position again. And not the kind of position where someone's cheating on me, not even that, because we really can't control other people, mm-hmm. but more so financially, I wanted to be able to never have that experience of being without, dependent, you know, on someone else. And so that was really for me what I set out to do. I've since taken myself from debt to creating a multiple seven-figure business and working with women all around the world. And, you know, then I did go through a second divorce in 2022. It was very different circumstances, but I found myself, you know, in this position where I didn't have to rely on anyone outside of me. I could move myself into a new home. I was able to financially provide. And I think it's so important for women to really recognize their power to be able to provide for themselves and change their life and their circumstances, no matter what they're going through.
So, I mean, and I thank you for sharing that, because I'd love to just like, just for our listeners. So you were, I mean, you were in obviously two different situations with each divorce.
Very different.
And so like what were you, how was it easier or better or different for you the second time because of all the work you had put in up until that point?
The first time was so traumatic because of the circumstances alone that it was one of those things that there was just nothing after having lived through that, there was nothing that was ever going to have me be in a bad place like that again. It was, mm-hmm. it was unimaginable. And so there was that, but the second one, you know, and in some ways, the first one was easier because he left. Like, he had another woman. He, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, I couldn't have kept him if I wanted to. With the second marriage, it was my choice to leave. And that was actually a little bit harder. It, you know, he wasn't having an affair. We lived in a beautiful home. He had a great job, but we were so different. And I just realized that this is not as good as it gets for me. There were a lot of things that I was settling for. And though I had been actively trying to have us work on the marriage, when that was no longer an option and the door closed, I knew for the work that I do, I couldn't remain in something that wasn't loving to me and then still do my work. And it was just a defining moment that I'm taking a stand for myself. And as hard as it was to have that conversation, there was relief on the other side of it. But it was painful because you've got to love yourself enough to walk away from something that's not a 10 out of 10 to stand for what is. And that, I think, is really hard for women to do.
I think so. Well, because, you know, and what do you think? Do you think we're being too selfish? That's why, or we think that, and that's why it's harder?
I think there's a couple things. I think women are afraid that, you know, it's too late in life. I think they're afraid. There's a really common theme that's going around of like, you know, there's not really, can't trust men. There's not a lot of great men. And the reality is, like, if you believe that, that'll be your experience. And I just chose not to believe that. But I also think women feel guilty. You know, naturally, we're really good at nurturing people. And so we'll sacrifice our own needs to be able to provide for someone else, whether that's just emotionally or whatever it is. And mm-hmm. I just don't think women were taught how to really love themselves and value their worth.
Yeah, I know. So, and I think it is true. It's hard. And so, you know, we as women go through so many different things just to get to the path of divorce, right? Just to think that that's an option and that that's okay. That is something I can do.
Yeah, it's hard.
Now, and then I know, you know, from knowing a little bit about you that your sister's passing inspired you to go deeper and personally, you know, with your mission. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So my sister passed away 2 days before Christmas in 2021. Mm. It was unexpected. You know, 1 minute we're like just getting ready for the holidays and we're talking about, you know, going to my dad's, and the next we get a phone call and she's gone. And so everything changed with that. And, you know, my sister was somebody who didn't really have a lot of self-love. She was beautiful. She was so smart. She was such an incredible woman. And none of that mattered because she just didn't love herself enough. And so she passed away from fentanyl. She was a heroin addict. Mm. We thought she was clean. And, you know, she relapsed. And then that was the last time. And so, You know, my sister was the type of woman that, you know, she was dating wealthy men. She always had access to a lot of money. And so if she wanted something done, she could get it. If she wanted to buy something, she could. So money was not really the issue for her because she was always provided for. And
okay.
What I found was that money alone is never going to make up for a lack of self-love. And so in the work that I was doing, a lot of women were hiring me to support them in growing their business and making more money. And that's great. But what I found was that your next business strategy, at least in the work that I do, is a personal one. So I didn't have an interest in teaching people how to attract more clients. I wanted to teach them how to become the kind of woman that was magnetizing everything that she wanted in her life. And so after her passing, it just, my work evolved.
That's amazing. I mean, because that's just so important. And it, right? Because it's just got to be more than the money. There's just got to be something else to give us that fulfillment.
Well, there's no amount of money that can make up for a lack of self-love. And so you can have a lot of money, but you can be void of love. And so we're just in my community, like, we want it all, right? We don't want just money in the bank.
Right, which is great. So that leads me to this. Okay, so you have your rich bitch framework.
Yes.
And liberate her. Will you share with us a little bit about each and, you know, what they each do?
Yeah. So the rich bitch methodology, those are like our 9 core principles, and it's really to teach a methodology for change. And so we're in that community. That's the work that we do. And that won't, like, we have people that leave relationships. We have people that make a lot of money. They create new jobs. There's like any and everything happens inside of this community. But Liberate Her really came actually after I left my second marriage. And you know, that was also inspired by the fact that I was working at the time with a lot of coaches who, they looked great on the outside. If you looked at their marketing and all that, they were doing really well. But what the work they really needed to do was within themselves. And so living a rich bitch life is about having it all. We don't just settle for the money, but relationship with others and with ourselves. We need to know how to have effective communication. It's about teaching women really how to lead. And to lead powerfully. There's also a lot of women that are making money, but they're doing things they don't want to do. And like, we're the opposite of that. So giving every woman the opportunity to choose her rich bitch life is the mission statement for Liberate Her. And that's really about her saying, this is the 10 out of 10 that I'm going to stand for. And it's messy work. It's confronting. It's not easy.
No, it's not, right? But it's worth it, right? If you get there and you do the work.
It's always worth it. Yeah.
So let's talk about your book, Rich Bitch Money Goals.
Yeah.
And you talked about the 9 principles. So maybe like, let's start there. Give us a little idea of that.
You know, I just tell people Rich Bitch Money Goals is, it's not about money, but it's not not about money. So I get a lot of people that judge it right off the bat. And I understand the word rich bitch can really throw people. It's kind of like once you get inside, you understand that it's so much more than that. So Rich Bitch Money Goals is really about changing your life. It's about who you become in the process of change. So it's not so much a tactic on how to make money. It's about who you become in that process of change that actually creates the life that you desire. Whether that's more money, whether that's a new career, whatever that is for you. Everyone will have a different definition of wealth and of success.
I love that. So part of the rich bitch name is the, it's because it stands for something, right? It's an acronym for what you talked about, the 9 principles.
Yeah.
So let's go into those a little bit.
You know, so one of the questions I was getting all the time was like, how did you create success? It's really what women wanted to know. Like, how did you make money? How did you do this? How did you go from debt to multiple 7 figures? And, you know, a lot of times they think it was like, what business coach did you hire? It's like, it was none of that, right? It really started when I was 17 and I attended my first in-person seminar and it everything kind of compiled from there. But I looked at all the things that I did throughout the course of my life to create change, to overcome, to heal, to create the kind of wealth that I have. And I distilled that down into these 9 principles. So for example, the R in rich stands for responsibility. You've got to take personal responsibility for your current experience of life, whether the cards that you were dealt feel fair or not, they were dealt. And so you have an opportunity to create change, but you've got to be responsible for your circumstances. That's a really hard one for a lot of people because it's easy to go, well, this person did this to me, which is why this is what I'm currently experiencing. And it's like, that might be the truth, but you're left with it. So what are you going to do about it? So the R in rich is responsibility. The I stands for integrity. The C stands for conscious creation. Well, that's for bitch. In rich, it stands for courageous conversation. So I shared that one a lot because people don't actually know how to really effectively communicate. They don't know how to speak their needs. They're afraid to do it. And so in that chapter, I talk about how I sat my second husband down and I asked him for a divorce. So I speak about that. The H in rich stands for healing for the highest good. Bitch stands for a woman who believes in herself. She will invest in herself and not just the resources that are likely required to create change, but she'll also invest the time that's required. She trusts herself. So intuition is a big part of my work that has really been a key code to my success in so many ways. The C stands for consciously creates her life, and she's heart-centered in her pursuit of that. So that's the acronym.
I love that. And I think like so many, each of those could be an entire show. Because there's so much to it, right? So let's like, I'll just touch, you know, on one. Let's talk about like trusting yourself, because especially when you're just feeling kind of down and out and you're like, or, you know, for instance, our clients, you know, they've gone through a divorce. So now they've lost that trust in themselves because what they believe to be true or, you know, what they believed about their marriage is not. So now, like, what are some ways to start to build there?
Well, I always look at perspective. So I have a belief that might, you know, not everyone will necessarily resonate with, but I believe in soul contracts. And a soul contract would state that every single person that we encounter in our life is supporting us in our evolution. And so how could you actually discover true love unless you know the flip side of that? It's like, how can you experience forgiveness if you don't have anything to forgive? And so I believe that there are people who are put in our path to help us grow and to challenge us to grow. And sometimes that looks like the husband that has an affair with his secretary. So you can choose yourself and walk away. So you can actually demonstrate self-love on a level that most people are actually afraid to do. So I would look at it first from like, what's the perspective that we're viewing this from? I also think, you know, if we go to the C in bitch, which is really important, consciously create. So when I went through my first divorce and I caught my husband with another woman, you know, there's nothing really more devastating and just, it was awful, right? And so there's that conversation of how can I ever trust men? How can I trust myself to trust men? And so I realized that if I was going to have a relationship after that or a marriage after that and feel safe and confident and secure, which is what I ultimately wanted, I would have to trust and open my heart again. And so there was a whole process to doing that. And I think it's just the work. It takes a lot of effort and energy to get there. But once you do it, you don't look back. So I always say, like, once you come into this world and you know the principles, you can't not know them, right? So then it becomes a choice as to whether or not you're going to step into it. But I think trusting ourselves is also trusting that what didn't work out was all by design. But I think there's a lot of people that wrestle with that.
Well, and I think that's hard because then it does take into account your other principles because, you know, we can, you know, and I know you've heard this and I'm sure you said it, right? We, you know, things happen for us, not to us. And if you can twist it, and even as bad as it is, right? When there are things that are really, really terrible, but if you can change your perspective, because, right, because that's in the past what happened. And then now the reality is, who are we, right? After having, you know, been through something difficult.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of looking at ourselves and standing up, right? Owning who we are and how we behave.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of women that don't actually know who they are once they go through a divorce. At least this is something I experienced this. And I had a lot of clients that were like, I don't actually know who I am without this person, right? You build a life together. There's traditions that you have. And I think a lot of women just naturally never really discovered who they were independent of someone else, whether that's the title of mom, sister, friend, wife, girlfriend, whatever that is. And so I find that for a lot of people going through divorce, especially for women, that's something that they're in the process of discovering.
I agree with you. I have talked about this a lot with other guests on the show, right? Because you have your identity wrapped up in who you are as in maybe that's as a wife or as a mother. And when that goes away, and a lot of times, especially here in Florida, I mean, it is becoming more popular, I think, across the country. Florida is probably late to it, but more of an equal 50-50 time sharing. For women who have been the stay-at-home mom as their identity, that is really difficult. Yeah. It is really difficult. And I don't want to minimize that, because now they've got to really figure out who they are. And it may have been years since they really tapped into this wonderful part of themselves, but that who was someone separate from that. And I know that many women really are challenged by that and struggle with that after a divorce.
Yeah, there's nothing easy about it. There's nothing easy about going through that, facing that, working to overcome that. You're creating a new normal for yourself. That's what's hard.
Because there's not just one way to heal. And to say healing is, you know, as we know, easier to say it, and you've got to, you know, go through it and get there. So how do you help women with that? Because I know it's tough.
My approach is not always that popular, but it works for the people that resonate with it. It works. And so, like, for example, when women come to my retreats, they come to my events, we do not talk about the past. I have them get in practice in consciously creating the future that they want to experience. And so what's normal for people is constantly retelling the story of what happened to them, which tends to keep them in this cycle. It's really common for people to do this. It takes a lot of awareness to stop doing it. So one of the very first things that I have people do, and I look at healing as completion, because when you're actually complete about something, first of all, you don't need to continue to tell the story unless you're giving someone context about your life, or maybe you're on stage and you're inspiring people with something you've overcome. But when someone's complete, there's wisdom, there's no longer pain. You could talk about it like you talk about ice cream, right? It just is. So I look at it as people actually first choosing, like you get to choose. So I always tell people, there's nothing wrong with your life as it currently stands. Even if you're suffering, you're angry, you're unhappy, there's actually nothing inherently wrong with that. The question isn't about whether it's right or wrong. Should you change or should you not change? The question is that experience of yourself giving you what you ultimately want to experience in your life? And for 90 something percent of people, the answer is no, it's not. And so that's when they get to choose. Despite what's happened to me, despite my pain, they're justified. Their feelings are completely valid. So it's not about valid or not, justified or not. You're completely valid and justified to be upset. Is it giving you the results that you ultimately want? And that's where people have a defining moment to choose. And I say to choose is to select freely and after consideration. And that's a really important aspect of this, because when you're choosing, you're in your power. You can't be a victim if you're choosing.
Which is so important, because I love everything you said about that. And that is so powerful. And it resonates with me very much, right? Because that story, the more you tell it, the more almost power you give to it to remain that person in that story. But also the freedom to leave that behind and become who you're really meant to be, or your full potential, like really what's available for you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about investing in yourself as our I, because that means so much to a lot of different people. And I would love just to understand, you know, how you coach on this, how you teach on that one for everyone.
Yeah, you know, investing had to go in there, because everything, again, about Rich Bitch and the principles of that was me sitting down going, what has changed my life? And so when I was 17 and I was gifted this in-person seminar, it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9 a.m. to midnight. I was the youngest person there. I had to invest my time to be there. And so people know how to do things that are going to make a difference for them. And if you don't know, you could go to Google. Like, it's very easy to find something that you could actually do. But it's going to require you to maybe trade your Netflix for your time and attention into something that is going to support the change that you say that you want to have. And so also a lot of times it requires resources. And so do you trust yourself enough, if you have the intuition to do something, to invest in yourself enough? But it was also important to have in there, because if you're going to invest in yourself, you're saying, I'm worthy of investing in. And it actually, a lot of people aren't there yet. They don't necessarily feel worthy of investing in. So it was one of the principles that absolutely had to go in there, because if you're going to change your life, then you're going to have to invest the time to do it and likely resources to support you in getting there.
Yeah. And, you know, as I go through like this whole list, just like you said, none of these is talking about money specifically.
Right.
It's talking about, this is my perspective, a way to live.
Yes.
And
yeah.
A way to be.
Style, not a trend. Rich bitch is a lifestyle, and it's an everyday thing. And so it's not talking about money in those acronyms. Obviously, once we get like later into the book, I'll share certain ways of how I created things. And mm-hmm. I have different discussions around that, even like sales, right? There's a chapter in the book called ABC. So, you know, the number one rule in sales is always be selling, but I switched it to say, always be convinced. Cause if you're not even convinced on what you're selling, you're going to have a hard time to sell it. If you're not convinced in who you are to do the thing, then this is why your next business strategy is a personal one.
I love that. And I can see from when this becomes your way of living and you live like this, you set yourself up for success financially in whatever venture occupation you're going after.
Yes.
Let's talk a little, I don't know, which one's your favorite? That's probably not a fair question.
Or
your favorite one to talk about, maybe, that you feel like...
I love them all. They're all so important. I always say it's kind of like, if you know, if you're baking a cake, you could bake a cake and miss like an ingredient in there, but it's probably not going to turn out so well. So I look at the acronym like you're baking something. And if you want it to be really, really good, you need every acronym in there. You know, this is the second edition of the book, and I will go to one of my favorite chapters, which is on pleasure. And I added it because it was missing in the first one. And when I went through my second divorce, I really started prioritizing pleasure. And I didn't go on any dating apps. I was not interested in doing that. And I just happened to attract this man that really opened me up in a way that I had never experienced before. And I found that the more I was experiencing pleasure in my life, the more money was flowing into my bank account. So that I would go to a chapter of mine that's a favorite and say pleasure is one. I mean, I have several, but that is definitely one. And I'm sharing that because I know there are a lot of women that are void of pleasure, even if they're married. And sometimes it's their sex life where they're not experiencing pleasure and they're settling for that. And I think it's so important that we experience our pleasure. It's there for a reason.
I love that. I wanted to talk a little bit too about integrity.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, that is important. Like what you say, not about chasing every impulse and how you show up. What are some important things that one you've learned about it that helped you really kind of write more about it?
Well, I think when it comes to creating some kind of change in your life, we give our word to something, right? So like you could take an easy example that almost anyone could relate to. And it's like, let's say you're like, I want to lose 10 pounds. Okay. Then you set yourself up. I'm going to stop eating this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to add in salad, right? Integrity is honoring your word. However, I've had people ask me this question. Well, then how do you speak to integrity if you've gotten divorced? And here's what I always say. Integrity starts with self. And so for me, it would be out of integrity to stay in a marriage that is not giving me what I ultimately desire and deserve and need. And so I'm not going to stay in something. If that person is unwilling to do the work with me, that would be out of integrity for me. Just because, you know, we made a commitment, if that person's not keeping up their end and I've done everything I can, it would actually just not be an integrity for me to stay. Now, not everyone's going to agree with that, and that's okay. But I think integrity starts with ourselves. It starts with knowing yourself enough that you're honest about what you need. And the truth is, if I go back and look at that second marriage, I wasn't honest with myself that wasn't a 10 out of 10 for me. And I settled for it until like I couldn't stay in it anymore.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think that happens one to everybody in a lot of areas, right? And you just go about it. There's that one acceptance, right? That one thing that, it's just this thing. And then do you find then it can build and certainly, you know, go through other areas of whether it's your relationship, your job or whatever, but then all of a sudden, there's a wake up call and you're like, wait a minute, like what happened?
Yeah.
I don't think I entered this out of integrity. I think I entered this thinking this is a 10 out of 10, but what has happened over time?
Yeah, I think if most people look back, and it's not to say it's always the case, but I think if most people were to look back and go, were there red flags? And my whole stance on red flags has changed. So I look at red flags now as like, you know, people say red flags are warning signs. I think a red flag should be a deal breaker, an automatic deal breaker. Yeah. I don't think red flags should be warning signs anymore. They should be deal breakers. And I think if we can be honest about that, but also honest about our needs. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by this. So with my second husband, we dated, it took him 1 year before he gave me a compliment. 1 year. Mm-hmm. And my number one love language is words of affirmation. So isn't it funny that, and here's why I was like, well, I'm a confident woman. Let me work on my confidence. I don't need his validation. I don't need that. And the compliment he gave me after 1 year was, you look nice. That wasn't a 10 out of 10 for me to wait, to go without a compliment. So I was out of integrity. And then I was trying to justify, well, I'm confident. I don't need that. But the reality is, it's not about need. What this is your time on earth to have everything that you want. What kind of relationship and partnership do you want to experience for yourself? So that would never fly today. If I go on a date and you can't give me a compliment on the first date, like, we're done.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that is such good advice. It's true. It's almost, well, I've been married a long time, so it's more like interviews, you know, because running the business. Yeah. And, you know, when you talk to somebody or they show up for work and they show up for the interview, and this, I share this with the other team members, or like, that's the best, right? So like, cause they want this job, or it's a vendor, somebody who wants your business, right? Like, that's the best they're ever gonna be, theoretically.
Yeah.
So if it's not good enough, or there's something you question, you know, you gotta wonder, like, am I gonna just continue this to see if then what, they're gonna surprise me or be something different?
Yeah. And you know, that was something when I decided that I was going to ask my husband for a divorce, I made the decision that I was not going to bring up anything he did do or didn't do. There wasn't going to be any blame. I really made the decision that I was just going to leave that marriage in love. And I asked myself, what is the most powerful way that I can complete this marriage? And the reality is, he brought a lot of my dreams to life. He crossed off a lot of bucket list items. We did have a lot of love. And so I chose, when I had that conversation, I didn't bring up one thing that wasn't working. That was just done. And I just left with as much love as I possibly could. And it really was a powerful experience to do it that way.
That's amazing. I've never, well, maybe I have heard anybody say something like that, but not quite like that. And I really appreciate that, because that goes back to, you know, with integrity, and the way you left that was your choice. But what a great way to do that. And really, it's out of respect for what you guys did have and for him as a human being, even though he's not your person anymore.
Yeah. And it was also, if you take the R in rich, that was me taking responsibility that I settled for things that I could have said that actually isn't good enough for me.
Yeah.
I chose to settle. He was who he was. And that was on me to say, this works for me or it doesn't. And I tolerated it until I was like, this isn't it. So there wasn't really anything for me to actually be mad at.
You know, that's beautiful. And I think that a wonderful thing for someone coming out of a relationship to at least hear. And I'm sure it takes, you know, I'm sure you've had from people who've worked with you or come to your seminars. Not everybody's ready, but hopefully by hearing it, they get there at some point, because that responsibility and personal responsibility for, you know, kind of everything in your life and who you are and how you react to it, I think is very important.
Well, and I think too, that's why it's really important for women to start to know, what is it that you actually want? Like, who are you independent of all your titles? And a lot of women are in process of discovering that. So when I went through my first divorce afterward, I wrote She Without He, because it was like, who are you without him? I wrote that because I didn't know the answer for myself. I had to go on a journey to discover that. And I think a lot of women are in process of that if they choose to be.
Yeah. And I think that is a very worthwhile journey that can be very hard and painful, because, you know, when you first think, you just don't know. So you really have to search and do that work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, let's just talk one more thing. Heart-centered. I really want to just touch on that, because I love that part of the a rich bitch is heart-centered. And so what does that mean?
Yeah, so the H in bitch stands for heart-centered. And I had to put that in because there's a lot of ways that you can make money, just like there are a lot of ways that you can experience yourself in a relationship. And so the work that we're doing here is like, if you're going to create success, if you're going to scale your business, if you're going to have success in a relationship, then it's important that you're doing it from your heart, which is your greatest truth. So I would say your heart should be your true north. It should be your compass. It will never steer you wrong. It's not always easy to listen to it, because it's honest. And sometimes the right thing to do is the hardest thing to do, but it is the thing that provides us with, you know, the greatest experience of wealth and of ourselves. And so heart-centered was all about really honoring your truth, but also honoring others in the process. And so even just like a way that that would look in terms of business would be, you know, there are times people want to come into an offer and I know that they're not a fit. They could pay in full, but if it's not a fit, then that's not actually going to serve them. And it would go against the H and bitch if I were to take them on just because they can pay. Mm-hmm. Always lead with, is it good for me? Is it good for them? And if it's not, then I know there's someone or something out there that's going to be better aligned for them. And so I just think it's really important that we're actually leading with our heart in whatever we're doing. That's also why I asked myself that question before I sat down with my husband, like, what is the most powerful way I could complete this marriage? Like, what would that actually look like? And I just got curious about what I would want for that to look like.
Which is, it is, and it's a good question. What advice would you give to the women listening, maybe who are in the thick of their divorce and really feel like their life is over?
Well, that part of your life is over. And I would say, don't cling to it. Just face it head on. Like, that part of your life is over and it's painful. You are severing an energy that was very familiar for a long time. And so you're going to have to take the C and bitch and consciously create a new life when you have the readiness to do so. It's hard. I think it's okay to acknowledge that it's painful, but don't get stuck there, right? You're either going to get stuck there and life is going to keep moving forward, but you're going to be in the past of an experience that's already done. And you'll keep replaying it in your mind. And if you replay it in your mind, you replay it in your body. And so there has to be a point in which you choose to move forward. And that's always easier said than done. But I would like to think that I and other people have really shown what's possible, no matter what circumstances that we have gone through. So I would say, keep going. Don't get stuck. And I would say, surround yourself with the kind of people that are living a life that you want to live.
That's a very good tip, right? Who aren't trying to just reminisce and retell and live in the past.
Totally.
Yeah. Out of that. Now, what do you wish women knew sooner, maybe about themselves, about divorce, or about starting over?
God, I would say, your intuition is your greatest superpower. And I believe everybody has access to their intuition. I've had a very open channel since I was a child. And I think the only reason that women turn that off is they stop trusting it. They stop honoring it. And if you trust your intuition, it's going to support you in actually having experiences that are the ones that you want. And so you'll avoid maybe a little bit more of those heartbreak moments. But I would say, trust yourself, work on trusting your intuition, work on hearing it and cultivating a relationship with it.
I love that. And I agree with you 100% about the intuition. Kiara, before we go, our show is called Women Winning Divorce. And I would love for you to share what winning at life means to you.
Winning at life for me is being free. It is having gone through tremendous pain and being able to look back on it and being so grateful for it, not wishing anything were different, but actually recognizing that every challenge, every painful moment, every heartbreak was actually gifting me an opportunity to grow and do bigger work in the world. And to also then redefine what my standards are when it comes to relationships. My standards are high for the men that want to be in my life. And I can tell you that that has really attracted the most incredible human beings into my world. And I'm just so grateful to now feel the kind of love that I do in partnership. And I want all women to have that.
That is awesome. Thank you. And lastly, Kiara, before we go, where can our listeners find more information and resources about you?
Just go to my website. I'm on Instagram, just at Kiara Casey, kiaracasey.com. I'm pretty easy to find if you just Google my name.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we will make sure to have that in all the show notes. And we have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Kiara Casey, for joining us to discuss how to heal and reclaim your power after divorce, the Rich Bitch framework for rebuilding your life with confidence and clarity, and the importance of courageous conversations, self-trust, and conscious living. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming. But it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.
This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not an advertisement for legal services. The information provided on this podcast is not intended to be legal advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact an attorney in your local jurisdiction. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely those of the individuals and do not represent the views or opinions of the firms or organizations with which they are affiliated. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any editing, reproduction, or redistribution of this podcast for commercial use or monetary gain without the expressed written consent of the podcast's creator is prohibited.